Hello and welcome to the You Haven't Seen This podcast. My name is Cassie and I've seen no movies.
And my name is Matt and I have seen substantially more movies. Although today, these roles are slightly reversed.
They are, because today I have seen a movie that you haven't seen.
Yes.
And the movie we're going to be talking about today is the cinematic masterpiece that is Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time.
The greatest of all the Disney directed video / DVD sequels, because I think this one came out way too late for anyone to still have a VCR, unless you're like some okey smoky person with like a log cabin out in the wilderness.
But even then, I think eventually you would just get the CD. But that's the DVD rather. But that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about the masterpiece, the cinematic masterpiece that is Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time.
The cinematic masterpiece. Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time.
So Matthew, why don't you tell me what you know about Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time, and the Cinderella story and franchise as a whole?
There is something so... God, Disney is insane. Okay, so, Cinderella... So I did, if you want to take a look, I will post the link in the show notes, but on my blog, I did a large sort of retrospective on Disney. Just went with the main line, none of the directed VHS sequels. Maybe that's my next project. But Cinderella was actually one of my, like, surprise favorites. It was one of those movies that I went back to and was like, oh, this... I did not expect to like this much. And maybe that's nostalgia. Cinderella was one of the Disney DVDs we had. So it's one I've definitely seen a lot. But yes, and we did have both direct-to-video sequels.
Did we have Cinderella 2? I only remember us having Cinderella 3, and that's the reason why it's such a cinematic masterpiece.
Well, okay, so to go through, so Cinderella the original, Cinderella the Disney original, 1950-something.
Yeah.
Matt will put the correct number in post. 1950. So that's the original, one of the Disney classics, one of the Silver Age classics. It is the classic fairy tale. Poor, little girl Cinderella is raised by her horrible, horrible stepmother, and all she wants to do is go to the ball. Her fairy godmother gives her a beautiful dress and gown, and she goes, dances with the prince. It's a great time. Turns back into a pumpkin, stroke of midnight. Her coach does, not her. That'd be a much different movie if she was a magic pumpkin. And it all goes away except for her glass slippers. And, there's mice, and it's all very pretty, and not a whole lot happens, but not a whole lot ever happens in, like, a Cinderella adaptation. It's not a fairy tale with a lot of plot.
Okay, so now that you've just talked about Cinderella for what feels like forever, tell me about your feelings about Cinderella. It's a movie everyone knows. Tell me about your feelings.
I did. I like it. It is one of my favorites, I think, of the Disney movies. And it is one... Yeah, it is one... It's very beautiful. It's a very good movie. And it is also interesting because it has two direct-to-video sequels, both of which are wildly different.
They are.
Cinderella 2 is one of those where, like, it's basically, like, 3 20-minute segments that then they all get kind of stitched together. And if you watched a lot of, like, the crappy, like, direct-to-VHS Disney stuff or direct-to-DVD, the ones that were, like, Princess Party or the Disney Princess Merry Christmas, where they're all kind of just like clip shows. That's what Cinderella 2 is kind of like. It's just kind of a clip show.
Yeah.
And then Cinderella 3, I have actually seen, it has been probably close to a decade at this point, but it is wild.
So what I'm hearing is that we've technically broken the rule on our podcast twice, because yeah. I had seen and not remembered Star Wars, and then now you've seen and not remembered Cinderella, the cinematic masterpiece that is Cinderella 3 Twisted Time.
Are you only going to refer to the cinematic as the cinematic masterpiece that is Cinderella 3 Twisted Time?
I'm just wondering why I wouldn't credit it as such if it is. I think that's just not. I just think that's disingenuous.
So the plot of Cinderella 3 Twisted Time is.
What kind of do you know about this film? Like, what can you kind of remember?
So the plot is somehow the evil stepmother gets the fairy godmother's wand and uses it to go back in time and make it so Anastasia fits the glass slipper instead of Cinderella. And so she gets to marry the prince and do all that. And then the movie is kind of like both Cinderella trying to get her prince back, coupled with Anastasia, who's the redheaded evil stepsister, kind of trying to like go against her mom a little to get the happily ever after. I don't remember, but I do know for whatever reason, Disney has decided Anastasia is the okay stepsister. Anastasia is the most morally nuanced character in all of Disney.
That's truth.
Because she is the evil stepsister in Cinderella 1, but she has a little segment in Cinderella 2 where she, like, falls in love with a baker or something. I honestly don't remember, because I do not remember Cinderella 2. So Anastasia has, like, a little bit where it's like, oh, she's a redeeming character. And then I think she's a big part of this movie, but I don't remember. I'll tell you what I do remember. What I do remember is the opening and the basic kind of plot. And then all I know is it's, like, it's one of the better Disney VHS direct-to-video sequels because, like, the original Cinderella is great, but, like, Cinderella and the prince, who are ostensibly the leads, have, like, no personality. And, like, in this movie, they're, like, funny and have character and motivations, and they're not just, like, perfect all the time, which is like, oh, this is interesting. I didn't know we could do this.
Yeah. Well, it certainly feels like you know a lot more. You have a lot more opinions about this film than I did about Star Wars, because I could name about 4 characters and remember the holiday special better than I could, like, one of the actual, you know, original trilogy films.
That's amazing.
But that's neither here nor there.
But I also probably remember, like, if I have to think, okay, actual scenes of this movie, like, I am thinking right now, I'm, like, scrubbing through, like, playing what I think the movie is on fast forward, and there's like maybe a grand total of like 2 minutes of screen time that is actually showing up in my memory. So I am excited to actually watch this movie and see what it is.
Yeah, I remember really liking this film a lot as a kid. It was just, I'm not really sure why I gravitated toward it kind of more so than I did the original Cinderella. I think it might be because we had this one. I can remember we had this one on DVD. I can't remember if we had Cinderella 2, but I remember we had Cinderella 3, and I don't think we had the original. So this is the one I watched a lot. When I wanted to watch a Cinderella movie, this is the one that I watched. And I remember really enjoying it. I thought, like, wow, everything is, like, very pretty. I kind of liked that, like, there wasn't, like, the animal subplot where there was in the original Cinderella, because I had watched it before.
Are there no mice?
No, there are, but they, like, in the original, there's, like, a really big about,
oh, true.
Like,
yeah,
like, a really big subplot,
yeah, like,
about, like, Jacques and Gus and Lucifer.
Half the movie is just mice.
That
is old Disney.
Yeah.
It is just, like, half the movie is side characters messing around, and it's like, okay, can we get through this?
Exactly. So, I guess, before we go watch the film, what are sort of your expectations of, like, what the movie's gonna be like in, you know, going into it? What are you expecting? What are you anticipating or excited for the cinematic masterpiece Cinderella 3 Twisted Time?
Can we also just talk about the title for a hot minute? Like, it's so funny because, like, the Disney direct-to-video sequels are, like, not high concept at all.
No.
They are just, like, what if we had more of this? Like, Lion King 2 is just, like, what if we did Lion King, but with the kids? I swear to you, Fox and the Hound 2 is like, hey, what if they formed a band?
Wouldn't surprise me.
So, the fact that it's like, oh, it's time travel and rewriting everything and it's a race again, it's like, this is weird.
I definitely vibe with it, though.
And I'm kind of excited to see what, I don't know, just from what I remember and comparing it to the other ones, this kind of weirdly feels like the movie they put effort into.
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, the animation was, like, pretty... It wasn't, like, on par with, like, the original. And I'm not saying that as, like, I'm a purist, but kind of in, like, there are a lot of really iconic, very beautiful things in the original, whereas, you know, the third one is just sort of, like, it's pretty, I like it, but, like, it's not, like, wow, this is stunning
animation. It looks really good, but... It looks really good among the Disney VHS sequels, yeah. Like, but... None of these are made by, like, actual, you know, like, the main... These aren't even made by, like, the B-team at Disney. These are shipped out to, like, people who do TV animation and yeah. Therefore are like, okay, I gotta draw this, you know, cartoon for, you know... It's like, I have to make this character work because this... my deadline for this scene is tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah,
But circling back to the question, what are you expecting? What are you anticipating?
I don't really have any expectations, I guess. I honestly think I am just here for the ride.
That's wonderful. You know what? I think just leave it there. I think we're going to just be here for the ride. So, alrighty, we are going to go watch Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time. Some would say it's a masterpiece. So we're going to go watch the film, and with a little bit of fairy godmother's magic, we will be right back.
The pear-shaped toad!
Oh, sing, sweet nightingale, sing, sweet nightingale, high above me.
Oh, all right, everybody. We are back. We watched the movie, and now we have a lot of thoughts.
We've stolen I almost called her the grandmother.
That's what Anastasia calls her a couple of times.
The fairy godmother's wand.
Fairy grandmother.
Yes, we have stolen the magical wand, and we have made it. So it's only been 2 seconds, maybe, for you listening.
Yeah, we turned back time, all the green evil magic, we used all that, and yeah, so now we're back. So, I'll pass this one to you. Just give me your general thoughts. What did you think about Cinderella 3?
I will say, okay, one thing I was surprised about, like I said, I have not seen this movie in years, and as soon as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, somehow I know every line.
Yeah, you did know a lot, like, in kind of the beginning. You knew much more than, like, I knew about a lot of the movies you were showing me. Like, you knew much more about, kind of, not just the Cinderella franchise as a whole, but mostly just, like, Cinderella 3 and all the plot points of it.
You can call me a Cinderella head. It's fine.
And I was just like, so I think Chewbacca's in Star Wars.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I was surprised at how much I remembered. This is... a wild movie.
Yeah.
This is just such a wild movie. So over the sort of past year we've been stuck in quarantine, I have, one of my many coping skills is I've been getting really into Kingdom Hearts, which is the sort of Disney Final Fantasy Square Enix video game series that's got just all sorts of wild plot stuff. And this kind of felt like this could be like a good Kingdom Hearts plot. That's where I'm like, this is wild to watch. Someone at Disney approved this movie.
I'm just gonna agree with you, because even though you made me sit through an hour-long PowerPoint presentation about the plot of Kingdom Hearts, I still don't know anything about it, so I'm just gonna agree with you.
Call me out, first of all.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing now.
More in the sense that it's just like, it's kind of convoluted. There's a lot of time travel going on. It's just wild and wacky in all these turns, and yet somehow it's working for me.
Yeah. It's wild. No, I totally get that. I think, like, that's also kind of what I like about it. It's that there's a lot of twists and turns, but they do all kind of feel like they work. Like, it does kind of feel like Lady Tremaine is sort of just making this up as she goes, and just kind of, she's kind of, her main motivation in the plot is really just like, I hate Cinderella, and I'm gonna try and ruin her life. And when her life looks like it's not gonna be ruined, she finds another way. Yeah. And they just keep doing that until, like, Anastasia kind of puts an end to it.
Yeah, towards the end, I was like, has she had a plan this entire time? I don't think so. And then I immediately after was like, oh no, she has had a plan. It's just like, this chick sucks. Yeah. I hate her.
Yeah.
Do we want to maybe like run down what actually the plot of Cinderella 3, A Twisted Time is?
Yeah, so let's just do it kind of quickly. And so Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time takes place after the events of the first Cinderella.
One year, yes. As they sing in the really not great opening song.
Yeah, so 1 year after kind of the end of Cinderella, her and Prince Charming are married, and they're celebrating their anniversary. And the evil stepsisters and Lady Tremaine are kind of forced to take on the role of Cinderella just in their own home. They're the ones who now have to do, you know, the chores and take care of the house. They have to, you know, be normal people and do chores. They don't have, you know, a servant stepdaughter to boss around and manipulate anymore.
Yeah, they don't have a stepdaughter to abuse. So.
Yeah, no, they don't. So, you know, the prince and Cinderella are really happy. And Anastasia is kind of upset, not just because, like, she is in kind of, like, a bad situation in life, but because she's jealous of Cinderella for, like, getting a prince and, like, falling in love. And so she does a little sneaking about, and she stumbles upon the fairy stepmother's wand. And she takes it, and then Lady Tremaine takes it from her, and they start using it for very nefarious purposes. They wind back time so that they can, to kind of the events of the first Cinderella, so that they can have Anastasia take kind of the role of Cinderella. So they have her fit the shoe, they have her, you know, meet the prince and kind of do all that, and they like brainwash people around them with magic so that everything kind of lines up. And so it's kind of up to Cinderella and her mouse and her bird friends to kind of, you know, fix everything, because, you know, Prince Charming and, you know, Cinderella, it's true love, they're supposed to be together. And so in the end, you know, everything works out. It's a Disney film. But yeah, that's kind of the gist of the film, if you for some reason are not familiar with this classic piece of cinema.
Cinematic masterpiece, yeah. One might say.
Some could say that.
It was interesting what they did with this movie to actually, like, give it a plot. Because the original is, it's very much in that fairy tale vibe, where there just isn't really a whole lot of, like, story and character as we would come to expect from, like, a normal Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Cinderella is very passive in the original, but that's because the original story is basically a morality tale that's like, hey, if you're nice, things will just work out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pretty faithful in recreating that, so they didn't have to give her a lot of personality. And same with the prince. He's kind of just like, he's a guy and he's rich. That's all you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if this is like the 17th century and you're like a poor little peasant girl, you're like, yeah, that is all I kind of want, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, towards, like, the middle of this movie, it feels much more kind of like an Errol Flynn movie or, like, a Pirates kind of thing. It's like, oh, is this, like, a Pirates knockoff in the middle of it? When there's just, like, swashbuckling and sword fighting?
Oh, yeah. Like Prince Charming, like, I'd like to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative. Like, why was he just, like, Spider-Maning it up? Like, just, like, throughout just, like, the middle and, like, the last part of the film, there's just, like, just times when he's just like, oh yeah, I'm just incredibly athletic now. And so this is fine.
I do love how he has like maybe two lines in the original and he's like introduced basically yawning and he's just so boring. And in this one, it's like, all right, we need to give him a character. Let's have him sword fight.
And be all goofy and charming.
And let's have him just like swing all rubs, full Spider-Man about.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
God, this is just such a wild movie. It's such a wild movie because these Disney sequels, like, never have plots.
Mm-hmm.
They're, so many of them are just like, let's do the first one again. Like, that's Peter Pan 2. It's just Peter Pan again. Or they're basically just, like, sitcom episodes that we're going to charge you $15 for in the video store. But this one, like, has a plot and a weird plot, too. It's so...
I really vibed with it. I vibed with it as a child. I vibe with it as an adult.
I love how just the first 3 minutes are this just kind of song that's kind of obnoxious and is just like, quick, get all the exposition out. Here's where we are. And then in the next 2 minutes, you know, Lady Tremaine really, really rolling with the punches. She finds out in about 2 minutes that one, magic exists. She goes from not knowing magic exists to in 2 minutes, like, time travel. It's fine. And we're chill and we're rolling with it.
Yeah, my question is, how'd she know how to do all those spells?
I'm
like, she just like, that's what I'm wondering.
She's like, I mean, it probably just works by vibing. You know what?
It works by vibes. magic works. How? Because of vibes.
She saw Anastasia do it and just went, well, it can't be that hard.
No, that's a roast, and it's absolutely one that she would give.
Absolutely.
No, 100%.
You're right, though, honestly. Like, she turned so quick on that. It's like, have you been planning this?
Exactly. She was just like, and there was no, like, moment of, like, consideration of, like, well, what do we do? Because, like, if kind of... we assume that her main character motivation is, like, Cinderella sucks. Let's get back at her.
Which we do because she basically has that exact line.
I mean, like, yeah. But, like, it's, like, there's no, like, thing of, like, well, what spell should we cast? It's not, like, should we, you know, should we punish her by, like, you know, stripping away all the stuff that she earned? Should we maybe, like... make it so that the prince doesn't like her anymore, or like there's none of these like singular things. It's just like, okay, I know what we're gonna do. Time travel. And we're gonna put also freaking Drizella, just like it, we've just decided that Drizella has no redeeming qualities.
Yes. Well, oh god,
it has to be Anastasia. There's never a thing of like, which one of you girls wants to do it, or like, let's do some... I mean, Drizella did say that her motivation was that she wanted to be rich and, like, okay, she's part of the royal family now, or, you know, she was going to be, so that, like, she would be. But there was never anything of just, like, hey, Drizella, do you want to wear the shoe? Or, like, Anastasia, Drizella... like, there was nothing like that.
I, like, don't know if Drizella's the favorite or the less... or the least favorite of the two. Because, like... Anastasia's kind of the screw-up in the sense that, like, she's the one who has a conscience. But also, I kind of wonder if there's a part of her where she's like, all right, if this plan's gonna work, I gotta kind of dupe someone's gotta, like, dupe him, and therefore I may need the one who has an actual personality and isn't just, like, a colossal tool. So, yeah.
Yeah. I might need to use Jennifer Coolidge.
Why didn't they just kill her?
Drizella or Anastasia?
Cinderella.
Okay.
I know why. I know why they didn't, because it's a Disney movie. But, like...
Again, it's, like, a thing of, like, why... It's, like, why was the first thought time travel? And not, like, let's make Cinderella sick. Let's make something bad just happen singularly to Cinderella. And then, like, we'll, you know, have, you know, the house be... And then, like, we'll, like, enchant someone to be a servant. No, it was anything like that. She's like, I'm going to freaking get back at this girl.
You know what?
Through time travel.
You know what? The best revenge is a life well lived. I think what they should have done is they're like, oh, cool, I've got this. I'm going to enchant just, like, a mansion on the beach on, like, the Riviera. And we're just going to stay there and just... vibe for the rest of our lives, well away from this goddamn kingdom where everyone hates us.
Yeah, because, like, And also, it's, like, we don't know, like, what kind of the bounds of the magic in this universe is. And we just kind of assume it's sort of limitless because, like, you know, we saw the stuff that the fairy godmother did. You know, she's turning, you know, like, pumpkins into carriages and stuff like that. Yeah, and just kind of making, you know, dresses out of thin air. But then it's, like, and then there's also, you know, time travel. So it's, like, there's nothing to say that, like, they couldn't be, like, hey, make everyone not hate us, or, like, give us a servant, or, like, give us a bunch of money, or anything, like, or any other kind of, like, because, like, you know, obviously the motivation's very selfish, but, like, there could have been a very, like, there could have been a lot of, like, motivations that did not center around Cinderella sucks.
What are the rules of magic in this universe? Because all we saw going into this, from Cinderella 1... I don't think Cinderella 2 is actually canon in this universe, which is an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I think it's probably because they forgot they'd made Cinderella 2.
Probably.
Except there's definitely a couple callbacks to it, but whatever.
Neither here nor there.
Because I think that, like, I'm pretty sure that, like...
The baker at the end.
Well, and the head of the household, the lady.
Yeah.
In, like, the Super Victorian. I think she's in one of the things. Yeah, I don't know. Look, I watched one Disney VHS sequel for you. I was not going to watch two.
I wasn't asking you to, because I respect you at least a little.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Like, always in Cinderella 1, as far as magic, is, like, she makes a dress, and she turns a pumpkin into a carriage, and the mice are the horses. And that's, like, literally it. And then... Fairy Godmother gets one. Even in this one, the little bit we see is, like, I make different... Basically...
She makes a gazebo and, like, a cake. And
yeah. Basically, the Fairy Godmother magic is, like, just Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
And then the evil stepmom gets it, and she's like, what am I gonna do with this? We're gonna do time travel. We're gonna do brainwashing. We're gonna do...
Body swapping.
We're gonna do some clone... some cloning...
Yeah,
like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not sure that they were, you know, very interested. Their target audience was, like, me as a child, so, like, you know, like, 8-year-old girls and under, so I don't think they were, you know, super interested in being, like, let's set up, like, the bounds of this world and, you know, what actually, where this place actually is. There's... Matthew was talking about how there's a coastline.
There's a coastline all of a sudden?
Which, during the film, he literally said, there's a coastline? Oh, that's good for the economy.
Maybe this movie was not made, for the 22-year-olds.
Yeah, probably.
Yelling about it currently. We have not also talked about how funny this movie is.
It's very funny.
Like, this is, like, an action comedy.
Yeah.
Which is not the direction I thought they were gonna go with this.
No, absolutely not.
Because the first one is just very, like... First Cinderella is just very, like... It's a Disney movie. It's very, like... Oh, it's so nice. This one... Oh, God. There's so many great lines.
The single funniest part of this movie is when... The prince kind of wakes up because Jacques and Gus tell him about kind of the thing that Lady Tremaine has done. And he kind of, in a frenzy, he's like, I need to go find her. Like, I need to find the woman I'm going to marry. I'm going to find the woman I'm going to marry. You need to stop laughing.
But you're getting married tonight.
And he's like, but you're getting married tonight. You're going to get married to Anastasia. And he's like, no, I'm not. There's someone else. The birds and the talking mice told me about her.
You missed the second best line. Because it's like, son, where are you going? You're getting married tonight. But the talking mice say she's the wrong girl. And it's just like, I'm sorry. We need to have a discussion here.
But anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted... So basically, you know, so he's running down the stairs and the king is running after him and being like, I forbid you to take one more step down these stairs. And he's right next to an open window. So he just goes, okay, and just yeets himself out a window onto a horse.
Jumps out the window, just like, ah!
That is the single funniest part of this film.
It's very wacky. They give Cinderella, like, a bit of a motivation too. She gets some fun one-liners.
She gets a bell song.
Yeah, they turned her into, like, Diet Belle. That's how they gave her a personality.
Yeah. So basically, you know, they, you know, the stepsisters, you know, the enchantment, kind of all that stuff kind of happens. And the stepsisters and Lady Tremaine, they go off to the palace to meet the prince because, you know, they think, because Anastasia fits the shoe. And then Cinderella sings a song that broke me as a child. I remember she had the two parts of the heart on the glass slipper after it gets broken, and she like puts them together, and it's them dancing like in the first movie. And as a child, I was just like crying. Like, I was 20 minutes into the film and already like, this is what love is, and she's so broken, and I'm so upset.
For 6-year-old little girls, this is the end of like Chinatown, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No.
Just like, oh god, it hurts. It's the end of Titanic.
Absolutely, yeah. So, but then like she kind of gets up the courage, and she's like, no, I'm gonna show him, like, you know, he's gonna know it was me that he danced with. So she kind of like climbs a mountain, and she's like, I want more than a dream. And we were both like, this is just Belle's song. Like, this is just her, like, I want adventure in the great wide somewhere.
It's exactly that.
It's the same. It's literally, like, the same song.
Down to her climbing a mountain, like, this is Sound of Music.
Yeah, and they even kind of, it's Sound of Music-y, because, like, there's all the wind, and, like, her arms are out. It's like, she's just, she, in that moment, she was Belle. Like,
this is truly, that's how they gave her personality.
Yeah.
But it was also great because she had like some one-liners. It was pretty good. Like her one at the end, she escapes like the evil demon pumpkin carriage. And she's like, what are we doing? And then and the mice are like, what are we going to do? And she's like, well, I'm not going to miss my own wedding. Rides off to it. I'm like, get it. Yes.
And you're like, queen. Absolutely.
No princess.
Hey. That's a lot of sassafras, and I don't need that.
Before we sign up, I want to talk about Anastasia.
Let's talk about her.
And I want to talk about how Disney has weirdly decided that she is the most complex of every Disney character, because she's actually has, like, she's morally gray.
Yeah, she is a morally gray character, so let's unpack that.
Because Cinderella is just goody-two-shoes, and therefore good things happen to her, and the stepmother and Drizella, who's the dark-haired stepsister, mm-hmm. Anastasia's the redhead. I don't expect you, the listeners, to be this deep into the Cinderella canon, so it's fine. I have to explain that.
I do.
That. Okay.
Laugh one more time, I dare you.
It's the first time you've said something funny, I'm sorry. So, Cinderella is, like, good at everything good happens to her, and it's like, whatever. And then Drizella is just horrible completely the entire time. But then Anastasia, they're like, wait, we need some conflict here. Let's give her some internal conflict. So in this one, she's all like, I just want love. So she goes along with this whole thing, and she's like, yes, the prince loves me. It's gonna be great. Even if it is by magic, which is dubiously consensual, but whatever. We're not going to get into it. It's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
But then him and her and the king start talking about just the power of true love and how it totally always manifests when you hold someone's hand for the first time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of close-up shots of hands in this movie.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And she's like, I have second thoughts. Wait. But I do want someone to be nice to me and like me, but maybe I want them to like me not because they're being brainwashed by magic.
Yeah, it was really sad. Like, Anastasia and Prince Charming, like, dance for the first time. And she just, her takeaway from that is just that, like, he was nice to her. And not even, like, and it was honestly, like, really sad, like, rewatching it, being like, because she's, like, so happy that he showed her even, like, an ounce of decency.
That he wasn't, like, yelling at her.
Yeah, that he wasn't, like, being actively mean or rude, like, to her. And I was just like, oh, Anastasia deserves better.
Anastasia does. Just, you know what? Get out of your abusive household. Just go to college.
Go with the baker.
Date this baker. Yeah. Like, get your MBA.
Yeah.
You know. Yep. Anastasia, just girl boss it up.
No, not Jennifer Coolidge.
So, I don't know who the actual actress is. She's done Anastasia in, like, any time they need her to for a while. And she's lovely, and it's great, but there's a scene at the end where she's...
When she is made to look like Cinderella. Yeah, so, that's when it's most noticeable.
So the, like, third act twist is, like, the prince, like, rescues Cinderella, and they're gonna be together and get married, and it's great, and... The stepmother and the evil stepsisters have disappeared, and it's like, oh, the day has been saved. But then Cinderella's getting ready for her wedding, and Lady Tremaine is like, surprise! You're not going anywhere! And then brings out Anastasia, who she has magicked to look like Cinderella in her wedding dress, and it's like, she's gonna get married instead! Ha ha ha! And just Cinderella's like, what are you doing? You can't want this, Anastasia! And I swear this actress... She's trying to be all demure and, like, act like Cinderella and not just be, you know, loud and obnoxious. And it's like, is that Jennifer Coolidge?
And so, for the rest of the time, every time Anastasia looks like Cinderella and she speaks because she's kind of, like, she's kind of trying to be kind of demure, but also, like, she's incredibly uncomfortable. Like, she sounds like Jennifer Coolidge.
I love her, but she's just like, well, Prince Charming, you look like the 4th of July. Yeah. Like, what?
That's just, yeah, so, Anastasia is now Jennifer Coolidge in our books, and hopefully in yours, too.
Jennifer Coolidge needs to play Anastasia in, the live-action version of Cinderella 3 at Just in Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We do call it Cinderella 3, by the way. We shouldn't call it Cinderella 2. I know they've only made one live-action Cinderella, but we should still call this Cinderella 3.
No, absolutely. And people are going to be like, where's Cinderella 2? And they're going to be like, no, Gaslight Geeky Bro Boss.
Yes. Lady Tremaine is the epitome of Gaslight Geeky Bro Boss.
No, absolutely.
Literally! She gaslights the prince.
Yeah.
She
literally keeps Cinderella in her room.
Out of the gates.
Literally gatekeeping.
And, I mean...
Kind of a girl boss that she has her own, that, you know, she's kind of, she's doing things her way. She's not waiting for, she works for herself. She's her own boss.
She's up at 7 to evilly pet her cat.
Yeah.
And abuse her stepdaughter.
Yeah.
And her actual daughters.
Now, if that's not Gaslight Gatekeep Girl Boss, I don't know what is.
Oh my god.
And on that note?
Is there anything, any last thoughts on Cinderella 3 at Twist in Time?
My cinematic last, masterpiece. My last thoughts are that I really liked this movie as a child, and it still kind of holds up. You know what? I'm not mad at it. Not in any way. And it's nice. Nice to have that constant in my life. And that constant is Cinderella 3 Twist in Time.
My final thoughts. I don't think it's as good as the original. I think if you're looking for, like, good... If you just want to, like, watch something with friends and have fun...
Yeah.
This is very much like that. It's not a bad movie or even in, like, so bad it's good movie. It's a fine movie that is, like, very fun to just enjoy with some friends, and if you're of age, maybe an intoxicant of your choice.
Perhaps. And on that note, thank you very much for listening to the You Haven't Heard This podcast episode on Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time. Please join us next time while we try and educate each other on movies that only one of us have watched. Bye-bye.
Take care out there, and
beware of magic that's green.
Yeah, green is an evil color.
Yeah.
And they lived happily ever after. Again.